a few corrections. Paul was recruited to be the president of an environmental investment company, Natural Blue Resources. Makes a interesting argument. Maybe Paul Pelosi Jr. is an FBI rat. Pelosi Jr. was recruited along with former New Mexico governor and Attorney General Tony Anaya. An SEC investigation found the company was secretly controlled by two convicted criminals, making Pelosi Jr. a cutout used along with the others to let them personally profit from the company without disclosing their past brushes with the law to investors. You can't be a convicted criminal and run a publicly traded company without disclosure. The two men, James Cohen and Joseph Carrazzi. Cohen had previously been jailed for financial fraud, and Carrazzi had been charged with breaking federal securities laws and was permanently barred from acting as an officer of a public company. Hey, no problem. We'll just dial up Paul Pelosi Jr. as the front man. And former Attorney General of New Mexico, Anaya, was charged in the fraud. Pelosi Jr. was not. Fuck out of here. The SEC concluded that Pelosi Jr. didn't play a meaningful role in the key transactions. Fuck out of here. October 2013. Not one to be off his feet for long, Pelosi Jr. landed a job as VP of a biofuel company, Fogg Fuels, 1 month after the SEC announced it had filed charges against the company and its founder, Paul Marshall. The federal complaint said Marshall stole $3 million from elderly investors in Fogg Fuels and another of his companies to pay for a variety of Marshall's personal expenses, including luxury vacations, child support, alimony payments, and private school tuition and camps for his children. And, of course, also paid Paul Pelosi Jr. Of course, when you're going through an investigation or an indictment, it's always good to have the Speaker of the House's son and the Speaker of the House's family in your corner. At the same time, the Atlanta, Georgia official was found guilty of helping arrange city contracts for Marshall's wireless internet company in exchange for bribes and kickbacks. Don't worry, Marshall became an FBI rat and agreed to cooperate with prosecutors in his $3 million fraud case and was not charged in the bribery case. What if the Pelosi's made a few calls on that? Fuck out of here. Two sets of rules. Two sets of laws. The haves versus the have-nots. The protection racket. And you're interested again in what the Supreme Court has to say? They rule your life, these decisions. They don't rule the Pelosi's lives. They don't rule the Fauci's lives. Rules for you, not rules for them. Rules to keep you in line. These people aren't in line. They're out of fucking control. They're way past out of control. The Hunter Bidens, the Paul Pelosi Juniors. And what about the Paul Pelosi Seniors? Who's this guy? The greatest fucking investment guru, the biggest investor maven ever. The guy's never wrong. Oh, because he trades on Nancy's inside information and they get away with it. They make millions. Licensed to make millions. Licensed to steal. And you're worried about who's in the White House. You're worried about who's in Congress. And she's on your side. We love Nancy. She is one of us. We're Democrats. She really got a couple good one-liners and barbs in on those Republicans. She showed them a thing or two. Really? She'd show you a thing or two if you showed up and didn't have your hand on your wallet or your purse. She'd show you how to alleviate it from you. But regardless of what side of the aisle on, you're on politically. You keep cheering for these criminals. As long as you align with them politically, well, them stealing and participating in schemes and fraud, it's okay because they're one of us and they represent us. Do they really? How much have they already stolen from you? Not just money, quality of life, etc. And the beat goes on, on and on and on. Thanks to the folks on Pain.tv, guys. Check that out. The Hot Wire was smoking. Check that fucking thing out, man. It's, and we have a hell of a streak going. I hope we can keep it going. I think we can. We're already working on the next one. And we expect to have a big week here. And we thank you for your support. We really do. And on the Thomas Paine podcast, we'll keep bringing the heat, man. That's all we know how to do. We've been doing it now. It's 2016. We'll just keep coming. Keep it coming, you know? Just want to tell you the truth. Don't kid yourself. Fauci's worth double that amount of money. Nobody's going to press him on it. And you may never know how much he's worth. But $10 million, it's a drop in the bucket. It's like a joke. It's not even... It's laughable. It's what it is. Absolutely laughable. $10 million. And by the way, like I said, don't give me some bullshit from 2020. I want to see it all. I want to see all your finances, plain and simple. Will that ever happen? Take care and God bless you.
Coming in. Here we are, Houston. And there we go. So let me take this off. Turn that off. This off. Damn. Man. I just got in from Rigel 7. The intergalactic internet is all a buzz about this planet. I don't know whether you people have noticed, but it's dangerous to breathe the air. Many of your experts are advising wearing masks because there's a deadly virus spreading around the planet. Your civilization is collapsing and life on your planet is going extinct. Maybe you just didn't notice, but the level of suffering on this planet is going through the roof. At any rate, welcome to the new season of my show, More Bad News, brought to you by Camel Cigarettes. Yes, that's Camel Cigarettes. When I was your age, more doctors smoked Camels than any other cigarette. Let me just show you that. I'm going to share my screen and we'll take a look at that right off. Here we go here, share the screen. And here we are with more.
You know, if you were to follow a busy doctor as he makes his round of calls, you would find yourself having a mighty busy time keeping up with him. Time out for many men of medicine usually means just long enough to enjoy a cigarette. And because they know what a pleasure it is to smoke a mild, good-tasting cigarette, they're particular about the brand they choose. In a repeated national survey, doctors in all branches of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country were asked, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" Once again, the brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to this repeated nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Why not change to Camels for the next 30 days and see what a difference it makes in your smoking enjoyment? See how Camels agree with your throat. See how mild and good tasting a cigarette can be.
Well, there you go. So don't believe all the hype that you hear about smoking being bad for you. Native Americans have been smoking the sacred leaves for thousands of years. After we arrived, they introduced it to us, and we turned around and marketed it to the world. I bet you never thought of it, but people all over the world smoke cigarettes, and we did that. It was one of the greatest accomplishments of American capitalism. The Indians always thought it was holy, sacred, meant to be shared on special occasions. And we saw it as a marketing venture, an opportunity, a way to make huge profits off of an addictive product that would eventually kill you. Pure capitalism, turning death into profit. Back to the show. I want to introduce myself before we actually meet F2F, as we say these days, which everybody knows means fuck to fuck, which really means that we're all fucked. When you see me next week, I'll be wearing this helmet. This is a this helmet is actually $300. It's got HEPA filters all around it, so that all the air that comes in, that I'm breathing, comes in through the HEPA filters. And all the air that I breathe out goes out through the HEPA filters so that it protects both me and you from this deadly virus that's going around. I may have fucked up my life, flatter than hammered shit. But I stand before you today beholden to no human cocksucker and working a paying fucking union job. And no limber dick cocksucker of an administrator is going to tell me how to teach my classes because I'm a fucking tenured professor. So if you want to go complain to your dean, fuck you, go ahead. I'm retiring at the end of this year and I couldn't give a flying fuck any longer. You people are just vectors of disease to me and I don't want to be anywhere near you. So keep your fucking distance. If you want to talk to me, come to my Zoom. Now, the question that I want to pose to you is this. Is the above soliloquy plagiarism? First, a few definitions. The word soliloquy means speaking one's thoughts aloud when by oneself or regardless of the audience, especially by a character in a play or a movie. Now, plagiarism means taking someone else's work or ideas and passing them off as your own. I'm not exactly quoting from my source, but my words are adapted from scene one, episode one of Deadwood, where Whitney Ellsworth introduces himself. Well, let me share again, and we'll take a look at that. Here's Whitney. Share, and here, and here. Once again.
Now, with that limey damn accent of yours, are these rumors true that you're descended from the British nobility?
I'm descended from all them cocksuckers.
Well, here's to you, Your Majesty. I'll tell you what, I may have fucked my life up flattered and hammered shit, but I stand here before you today beholden to no human cocksucker and working a paying fucking gold claim. And not the U.S. government saying I'm trespassing or the savage fucking red man himself or any of these limber dick cocksuckers passing themselves off as prospectors had better try and stop me.
They better not try it in here.
So, is my adaptation of this scene plagiarism? Well, if I hadn't put it to your attention, it would be plagiarism. And if you get caught stealing other people's words, you can get in a lot of trouble. Here at Ferris, you could be expelled. The end of your career. You got caught cheating and it cost you the rest of your life. Of course, if you don't get caught, you're fine. And that is why I always encourage my students to avoid getting caught. And if I got caught, if someone found the source of my soliloquy and exposed me for the fraud that I am, nothing would happen. Anyway, that is why we use citations to identify the source of materials that we use in our presentations and papers. It doesn't have to be a direct quote. If the material that you're presenting was inspired by some source, you need to identify the source. You need to tell the reader, where to find it. And so listing a book that you got the quote from isn't enough. You can't find a quote in a book without a page number. So keep that in mind, because it's one of the most common reasons that students end up with a B on a term paper instead of an A. Anyway, back to my soliloquy. So what you really want to know is, How the fuck am I going to get out of this course alive and with an A? That is the real question. How does this asshole professor grade? Well, let me set your mind at ease about that. You don't have a thing to worry about because there's absolutely nothing you can do. You have no control over your grade. It doesn't matter how fucking hard you work or how great your grades are. My grading system is based on the Calvinist doctrine of predestination. I figure if it was good enough for America, it's good enough for me. The Indians didn't lose because they failed. They tried everything and nothing worked. Because the universe doesn't give a shit about justice. It's all predestination, and you all are predestined to lose just like the Indians. So you should know that the American colonies, especially in the North, were founded by Christians who were basically Calvinists of one sort or another. And the Calvinist doctrine can be seen woven through American ideas about justice. You might want to check that out someday, but we're going to move on. Here's how Calvin saw the universe. Calvin believed that a person was either predestined for salvation or damnation. Most people were chosen for damnation, and that's because all human beings are sinners, damned by their own ugly souls. But despite how disgustingly ugly your soul might be, God, in his infinite mercy, has chosen, at random, I might add, a few individuals for salvation. These people are saved by grace alone, not by any righteous actions that they may have performed. It doesn't fucking matter whether you go to church or give charity. Your actions don't count. Nobody earns salvation because nobody is that good. And that is why, and that's the way it is in my class. I figure if it was good enough for Calvin, it's good enough for me. None of you cocksuckers are good enough to earn an A in my class. So I randomly assign grades before the first day of class. I don't want to know shit about you. I don't even want to know your name. I just look at the number and I assign a grade. That is how predestination works. And don't come fucking complaining to me. Take your complaints to God. He ordained this system, not me. Attendance policy. There was an interesting letter in the New York Times written in response to an opinion piece that was entitled "Republicans Cry Freedom While People Die." And the letter goes like this. I'm a professor at Clemson University where I've taught for 8 years. Like my colleagues, I was forced to teach in person this semester, which began on August 18th. After two classes with full mask compliance among my students, I tested positive for COVID. I'm vaccinated, but among the breakthrough cases that are increasing rapidly in places where there are no vaccine requirements. There is no vaccine mandate at Clemson, and only 53% of the students report having been vaccinated. I'm very ill with fevers, chills, loss of taste and smell, and hallucinations at night. As Ms. Wrinkle, the author of the original article in the New York Times, writes, the blame here rests squarely on the South Carolina Republican-led government, and I would add on Clemson's Board of Trustees and the executive leadership, whom I implored to issue a vaccine mandate to protect the safety of the faculty, staff, students, and community members. That was written by Walt Hunter of Pendleton, South Carolina. Our situation here at Ferris is about the same as described in this letter. The only difference is I'm going to be 75 years old in March, and COVID has already killed one of every 100 Americans over the age of 60. In other words, whatever you think of the risk of COVID, I live in a very different world. My risk is much greater than yours. In our first assignment, you're going to tell me how the last 2 years have been for you. Last semester, I had a lot of students tell me how the pandemic has affected their families. Many students' families have suffered serious financial problems because of so they run small businesses. Others told stories about missing their grandparents on Christmas because of COVID. They didn't want to expose grandma and grandpa to a disease that could kill them. Listen up, folks. I'm old enough to be your grandpa. And you people are vectors of disease to me. So when I look out at a classroom filled with 50 students, I see 50 selfish kids who don't give a shit whether grandpa lives or dies. And if you won't expose your grandpa to a possible infection with COVID, then stay the fuck away from me. If you don't give a shit about whether grandpa lives or dies, by all means, come to class. Now, before any of you go running to complain, and it happens every semester, Dr. Mailer said, we shouldn't come to class. Dr. Mailer said we shouldn't come to class. Let me clarify my attendance policy to you. First, let me explain that professors have complete discretion with regard to attendance policy. Many professors, for example, allow 3 unexcused absences, while other professors do not take attendance and require attendance at all. My classes are all designed to be taught remotely, and everything you need to earn an A is available to you on our Canvas page. There is no benefit whatsoever from coming to class. I will not take questions in class because I'm wearing this fucking helmet in order to stay alive. So please, come to class, enjoy the show. I'll be there regularly because I have no choice. You, on the other hand, have a choice. Thank you very much.
To you, to each other. to you each and every day. If I don't see you in this world, see the next one. Don't be late, don't be late, 'cause I'm a fool child. God knows I'm a fool child. I'm